the Bilal Rashid, and of course, some of you will recognize me from mistaking me for security outside. Because when you look like me, you can't just be outside to enjoy the ambience. No! Everyone assumes you're there to search people or sell drugs. So I do both. I take them from him, give them to him. It's how you stimulate an economy, you see. Or a war. So, it's amazing. I got to the Britain's Got Talent last year. I got a golden buzzer. It was amazing. But I'll tell you what was better. I got to annoy racists across the country. By simply existing, right? I'm not just talking about gamins on Twitter. I'm talking about other comedians because, believe it or not, comedians are some of the most insecure, racist, jealous people. I'm not saying they're all white men, but they are. And I had this one guy who did the show just like me, but he didn't do as well because he's shit. And he said, Nabil, you know why you did better than me? I said, because I'm better than you. And he said, no, the reason you did was because you've got a good gimmick. I said, gimmick? Gimmick? Okay, what's that then? He said, oh, you know. I said, what, exfoliation? What? I thought everybody knew about it. I said, no, you know, the black stuff. I said, oh, you're really going to reduce my whole existence into a gimmick. This is not, I said, bitch. This is no gimmick. I woke up like this. And then we got into a back and forth in the green rooms. Like, well, why do black Canadians all talk about being black? I said, I don't know. I think it's a black thing. Said, yeah, but you guys all talk about race, and that's not a big deal anymore. I said, yeah, but you guys all talk about your genitals, and those were never a big deal. So. But, you know, I was deeply hurt by what he said. So I decided I was going to turn a new leaf. You know, this is all I know. This is my experience. This is what I talk about. I said, you know what? I'm going to try something different. And I decided to announce it officially on Twitter. So I went on Twitter and I said, hey, guys, I promise not to do any more jokes about Islamophobia or racism as long as you guys promise not to be Islamophobic or racist to me for a week. I didn't want to be too demanding. 1 week is okay. The first response. Well, sod off back to Africa then, you terrorist. I said, ah. The people have voted. I must deliver. I knew what the people would vote for before they voted, but I let them vote to feel strong because that's how democracy works. And I realized something as well because they all started pouring all this abuse on me on Twitter. I realized, have you ever noticed how racists can never be racist properly in their own language? Like they can never spell, read or write their own. I spent the whole night going, no, Darren, there's only one K in fuck off. You know, it was really, this one guy was like, oh, if you don't want to be in our country spelled A-R-E, country. If you don't want to be in our country, then why don't you leave, you? Now, he wanted to call me a dickhead, but he omitted the K and the A. So the last word in the sentence read, D-I-C-H-E-D. Man called me a deesht. Now, I'm sorry, but there's no comeback for deesht because that's not English. This guy transcended linguistic barriers, right? I was like, mate, that's French. You leave. My favorite other thing that these guys do is they always heckle you with like threats of deportation. Like they're like, oh, you need to be on the first boat back to Africa. Because apparently there's a boat that just goes there, right? Doesn't go to any country in particular, just parks outside Africa and we moonwalk home, just in the first boat back to Africa. I said, what? Why the first boat? Eh? Why a boat? My brother, if you hate me that much, why not a plane? They're so much faster. Trust me, they work. That's how I came here. I ain't on the first boat back to Africa. I said, why the first boat? My brother, I descend from the tribe that turned slave ships around from Brazil and went back to Nigeria. You don't want me on a boat. Put me on a plane. Actually, Muslim plane, that might not work out so well. But fair enough, okay. Thing is, they keep saying the first boat, the first boat. Man, I've got a wife and two kids. We're never making the first boat. Do you know how long it takes those three women to get ready? Nah, we're not making the first boat. And I can't leave her here because these guys don't like single moms. So, because racists tend to be misogynistic too. Yeah, I know, don't worry. I'm not a feminist. I just think they make a lot of very good points. I think it's very pretentious how a lot of men decide that because they don't hate women that much, they're now a feminist. I'm not one of those guys. I'm honest. I think the best way to describe my condition is that I'm a recovering misogynist. What that means is that I acknowledge that the patriarchy is the thing, and that as a man, I benefit. I have male privilege from a society that systemically discriminates against women. I believe that toxic masculinity, rape culture, these things exist, and they have subconsciously affected all men, at least all straight ones. And I also admit that I, despite all that I know, have deeply problematic thoughts and views about women. But I don't tweet them. And that makes me a good person. No, the reason, and the thing is, to be fair, I'm way too happy to be a feminist. And it's hard work. I said that recently in Brighton. Was within earshot of a level 9 feminist. Now, yeah, she was a level 9. She had like the purple dreadlocks. She was like the boss of all, after you fight all the other feminists, she's the last one you meet. Just appears in a cloud of smoke and organic muesli, just. It's like, excuse me, I think you'll find that joke is sexist and it's a stereotype about feminists. I said, are you sure? I said, why don't you tell the truth, Nabil, with everything you know, why don't you want to be a feminist? And I said, well, to be fair, the real truth is this, okay? I have no interest in dismantling the patriarchy or getting rid of male privilege. She said, why? I said, because look at me, I'm black. Male privilege is the only privilege I have. She's like, Nabil, you should join the feminist cause because 300 years ago, we would have fought to free your people. I said, no, you wouldn't. 300 years ago, you'd have fought to own us too. And I said, no, you know what? This, I know, maybe for once we should make allyship transactional. Maybe we could have a trade. I could trade you some of my male privilege, and you could trade me some of your white privilege. And through this existential osmosis where I become a bit whiter and a bit more feminine, the world becomes better. And it was at this point that I realized what a genius Michael Jackson actually was. But the thing is, I remember just before everything went to shit, Christmas period, I was performing in Holland, right? I'm a Muslim, I don't celebrate Christmas. But you know, it's a nice time because it brings out the best in people. People go out and do acts of charity that normally would not do it. It's something that I've always had a positive association with until I went to Holland. Because Holland has like a longer, darker cut of Christmas, like the Schneider cut of Christmas. Because I went over there and they teach children in Holland that if you're a good kid, then the Sinterklaas, which is basically Santa, will give you gifts. Oh, it's good, yeah, yeah. But if you're bad, then Schwarz Piet, which means Black Pete, will kidnap you and sell you into slavery in Spain. And they teach this to kids as little as 3 and 4. Now, the promoter who's booked me is a black Surinamese Dutch guy, right? He's a black Dutch guy. Never thought to tell me that this was the case, because not only that, white Dutch people run around in blackface scaring kids in the name of Christmas spirit. It's good. Oh, yeah. So I show up, and these guys run up to me in full blackface, fat, going, ah! And out of fear for my life, I knocked him out cold, rude boy. Cold. Knocked the black off that white boy. And my friend's like, Nabil, man, we need to go. I'm like, nah, so Croydon, never ran, never will, ops get dropped, bang, bang. I looked up and I saw 15 more. Listen, I'm a heavy set Nigerian, but on this day I was Kenyan. I ran. I ran. We ran like 9 blocks. I'm like, bro, what the hell was that? As we're running, I mentioned my friend's black, right? He's 6'2", big afro, red lips, 11 months of the year, good-looking Dutchman. 1 month of the year, Schwarzpiet. We're running, kids see him and run in the opposite direction. I'm like, bro, why are these kids running away from you? And he explained what it was, and I was like, oh, thank God, because I just watched this documentary on R. Kelly, and whoof. In the end, he was like, no, it's not funny, bro. It's racist. It's not funny. It's racist. We keep telling them. They don't listen. And I thought to myself, yes, it is racist, but I've got 2 kids. And I don't mind kids being scared of men, because men are the ones that harm kids. Men are trash, right? I agree. But what I don't like about this is that they're only scared of black men. So I thought, rather than cry racism, let's get black men to dress up like white men and scare the hell out of these kids too. That way, they'll be scared of all men and not just one race. And it was at this moment I realized what a genius Michael Jackson actually was. Well, that's my time. I'm Nabil Rashid. Salaamu Alaikum, Kuwait. Stand up.